This is the Two Bald Nerds Podcast.
Hey there, welcome back to another episode of the Two Bald Nerds Podcast, the podcast you should be listening to every week, unless we don't have an episode that week, because this is where two bald nerds talk about things. This is very interesting. Danny and I just realized this a couple weeks ago. We talk about things we want to learn about. So coming up real soon, I'm going to be talking about solar panels and solar energy and NFTs because I want to learn about it. So I learn about it and I share it on the show. And Danny's doing the same thing. And if you have an idea for the show, at the end of the show, we're going to tell you a very special place that you can give us your ideas. And we want to know what your ideas are. So I am Mark Stuchowski, host of the Mark Stuchowski Podcast, available everywhere. And my partner in crime, if you will, all the way from Rochester, New York, my hometown, is, well, who are you, young man?
I don't know. Who am I? No. My name is Dan Bornt, again, Rochester, New York. And it's actually sunny today. Mark, you sent me that little video earlier of it being blue skies and 70 degrees, which is beautiful. It is, as I look out now, it's partly cloudy and it's in the 50s right now, but that's better than it was the other day when it was like 42 and raining. I will gladly take 50s and sunny over 42 and rain because 42 and rain makes it feel even more miserable.
Yep. Yep. Well, we recorded this last Friday, October 14th, 2022. And right now I just looked at my watch and it's 77 degrees. So when we're done here, I go outside and bake in the sun to get some vitamin D that the globalists don't want me to get because they don't want me to improve my immune system. But we're not going to talk about that in the show today. We're going to talk about VPNs. And the reason why we were talking about this a couple episodes ago, and I said, Danny, whoa, stop. I actually told Danny to stop talking about on the show because I realized that this is a full episode and he could have talked for 35 minutes and I would have gone to sleep, which would not have been good, the snoring on the podcast. But I really think, and we talked about it afterwards on WhatsApp, that this is a full blown episode because this is really important. Nobody thinks about this. We always go to Starbucks or to a restaurant like, hey, free Wi-Fi. Nothing in life is free. Correct, Danny?
That is absolutely correct.
If it's free, there's a string attached. So Danny is going to recommend a couple people, a couple companies. The one I'm using is the one he recommended. And the reason why I'm using it, because I love my cousin. I trust my cousin and he's using it. So why would I want to do my homework? Because Danny told me at the end of that podcast after we're off air, he says, well, do your homework. I'm like, dude, I trust you. Why am I doing my homework? I'm just going to use what you use. And now I have it on my iPhone and the company he recommended. We have 10 devices. So I've got it on my MacBook and my iPhone. My wife's got it on her iPhone and her MacBook. And now we feel protected. And I don't know how much Danny's going to talk about this, but I have it always on. So I'm at home and I still have it on because Danny said something to me, I don't know if it was on the show or elsewhere, that people can sit outside your home and sniff your network. And I don't want people sniffing my data or anything else around me. So let's talk about what is a VPN for those people tuning in the show that go MVP, MFVP, MBA. What is it? So what is VPN?
VPN stands for Virtual Private Network. What it is it's creating an encrypted, secure connection between you, your device, and a VPN server, which is nothing more than a machine that's in the cloud. Technically, it could be a machine that's sitting in your house, but that kind of defeats the purpose of what we're trying to do here with a VPN. If you think about it, what you're trying to do with a VPN, that's probably a good place to start as well. You're trying to take all of the traffic coming from all of your devices, all of the network traffic that leaves your device. You're trying to encrypt it so that once it leaves your device, there is no ability of anybody. That means nobody sniffing networks outside of your house. That means your ISP. That means the government that might be sniffing along the ISP. That means nobody can see that traffic. It's encrypted on your local device. That information does not get decrypted until it hits the virtual private server that is in the cloud. The other thing a VPN does along with that, the really good ones anyway, which are a couple that I'm going to recommend, is not only does it encrypt your traffic, but it hides your local IP address.
Mm.
Because if you think about it, once the information gets to the VPN server, it has to be decrypted to get out to the internet, because not all the places allow for, not everybody has your encryption key. Not all your basic sites have your encryption key. Some do, some don't. Like if you're just browsing particular websites or whatever, they don't all have your encryption key.
Mm-hmm.
But by them hiding your IP address, the IP address that all of the services see on their end is the IP address of the virtual private network. So this computer that's in the cloud. And these services generally have servers that are set up in multiple regions around the world with multiple machines in those regions. And I'll get into some of the specifics of this when I talk about a couple of the specific companies that we, like the one I recommended to you and a couple that we'll recommend later. But the idea is that they never see your IP address. So every machine that you have, every device that you have that's connected to the internet gets this thing called an IP address. That is your address on the internet, basically. It's saying this machine, this device lives here. This is specific to this device. VPNs hide that local IP address and give them one that they have generated off of their server. So anything that comes back or goes to an internet site or whatever, once it leaves the VPN server, the only IP address they get is the one that the VPN has generated. They never see your IP address. So technically, they can never see on their end who you are or where you are. You become anonymized from that point. From the VPN back to your machine, you are basically anonymized.
Okay, let me stop you there because I have a couple questions. So
go for it.
My data is only encrypted from my device to the VPN server, but then it's not encrypted from the VPN server to Amazon, Apple, whatever. So that's unencrypted then?
It depends on the service you're trying to go to. Some of it may stay encrypted. However, you can't guarantee that encryption after that, because if you're just going to a regular website, there's some information that doesn't get there's some information that is always decrypted. But again, think about it. Any information that's coming that they're using to track you, like location tracking or cookie tracking, all that's been scrubbed anyway. So when you go to a site from a VPN, they're not getting anything from your machine.
Gotcha. Okay. Now, okay. The other question I have for you is, I don't know if you know anything about this. I happened to see a TikTok video recently, and you can follow me on TikTok as Mr. Productivity. Spell out the word Mr. Productivity. And I'm trying to grow my TikTok, so please follow me over there. This is a airline attendant, flight attendant, says that when you go buy airline tickets, use a VPN so they don't know where you are in the world. And apparently you can get a different price on that. Have you heard about that?
I have heard about that. So this goes on to that whole thing that I was talking about, where when you connect to a VPN, generally, there's obviously always a number of different settings that you can have inside of your VPN. One of them is, where do you want to connect to? A lot of people will just leave that as automatic, and it will generally, with the service that we use, it'll generally try to connect to the fastest VPN server that it can find first. A lot of times that's local to you. Sometimes that's not. What I do is I have it set to automatically connect to New York City, which is the next closest server bank for the VPN we use. Mark, yours is probably Austin, if I'm guessing correctly, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That way I'm always automatically connecting at least to my general region. And there's some reasons why you might want to connect region specific most of the time. If you're a Netflix user, you're a streaming watcher, and you connect to a VPN and you're going to a place where you're watching a particular video or a particular content, that they will filter based on region, filter new stuff based on region, and you want to get the stuff that's new to where you are located, you're going to want to be in the region that you're in.
Now, a question for you there. Let's say I want to watch Houston Rockets games here in Houston, okay? But you have to have a cable or satellite subscription. So are you telling me that if I go and pick one like New York City, that the streaming service will think I'm in New York City and allow me to watch these games, which I'm not supposed to watch unless they fork over $1 billion over to the cable company?
There is a possibility that that will work. And I let me preface this by saying a lot of these big companies are getting smart and they're on to the whole VPS game or VPN game, I should say. If they are only tracking your location based on where that IP address is coming from, then theoretically, and it's just something it's easy for you to try, right? You go in, you change your VPS location in New York City, you try to watch the game. You will know offhand really quick whether or not it is tracking you just by IP address, or if they have figured out a way to identify what IP addresses are being generated by VPNs and are blocking. I have been told, I have not tried this myself, I have been told that with Netflix, if you change your VPN to someplace else in the world, you will then, and log in, you will then get curated content in your Netflix feed based on that new region because it thinks you're in England or Canada or wherever. I have not done a ton of research to determine all of the places that do that allow you to do that and don't allow you to do that. So the best advice I can give you is to give it a shot. But theoretically, it should work if they haven't come up with some way to figure out that you're on a VPN.
Don't some websites block you if you're using VPN? Don't they block you to traffic?
I do know of one specific case that this happens to me personally. So I don't know if it's how prevalent it is right now. I've read articles that some sites are trying to block VPNs. There's a chat client. There's a chat protocol called IRC, Internet Relay Chat. It's been around since the internet was created, right? Since like the 90s. I still have accounts on some of those. Well, some of those big chat, Internet Relay Chat groups like Dalnet and some of those will not let you connect to their chat services if you're running off of a VPN. Because I've tried it before and it says, we don't allow VPNs. You have to get off and come back in with a VPN. I don't know how they're doing it. I haven't investigated the technology enough to know. I'm assuming what they're doing is they've figured out how to scan the block of IP addresses to know. Because, you know, everybody gets a block of IP addresses. So right. These VPNs have a block of IP addresses that they can serve up. So there has to be some way for them to know that these IP addresses are coming from this VPN.
Interesting.
But you should be able to do, as long as they're not blocking it, then what you're talking about doing technically should work.
Okay. Well, but I'm not going to try it because it's not right. If I'm in Houston, I don't agree with it. We talked about this on another episode. I think, and it's already starting, that eventually you're going to be able to watch any game, anywhere, home and away, on any network, any sport. And I say this is already happening because Apple just paid $1 trillion for the MLS broadcast starting next season, Major League Soccer in the United States, for a 10-year contract. You can watch any game, any team, home or away. Because what they did is they took all the games away from the TV stations and says, hey, you subscribe to MLS on Apple TV Plus, you can watch any game. That's the first shot across the bow, and that's going to eliminate the VPNs because it won't matter because if I'm in Houston, want to watch the Houston team, I can watch the Houston team. You're going to see that with basketball, with football, with baseball. The leagues are going to start saying, yeah, we want one provider and no restrictions because they get more money out there. But that's, we're getting a little off topic on there.
Right.
So let's talk about the importance of VPN. So until we had that last episode, two episodes ago, I never thought about it. Now, I never connected. I knew enough, never connect to Wi-Fis, especially ones you don't know. I mean, our church has one, Starbucks has one, because if it's open, it's open. Mm-hmm. And so I heard from my cell phone carrier, Verizon, hey, you're safer if you only connect the cellular because they're monitoring the network. They can't control what these independent Wi-Fi is. Now, I can safely, because I have the VPN that you recommended. Now, when I go in, I can connect to the church Wi-Fi or to the Starbucks Wi-Fi because now I'm protected where before I was not, correct?
That is correct. So yes, that is correct. Once you connect to the VPN, then it doesn't matter what network you're running through, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So if you walk into Starbucks, as long as your VPN is on your device, then when it's, again, goes back to that whole, you're encrypting everything from your device. You're just using their network to send all of that encrypted traffic to the VPN servers. And then the VPN servers are taking care of your connection to the internet.
So if someone's sniffing it, it's just going to look like a bunch of
garbage. It'll be a bunch of garbage. They won't be able to see any of it.
Okay. So let's jump right into the company you recommended. Now, there's two companies you really recommend, if my memory serves me correctly, but you recommend the one for my wife and I because you use it, and it's, I guess you're going to tell me why you favor it over the other ones. So what is the name of that company? By the way, this is not a sponsored podcast. This is what we use. So go ahead.
The one that I recommended to you because it's the one that I use myself and I've been using for a while is called Private Internet Access. They also go by PIA. They have been around for a long time. Matter of fact, I have their page up because I just wanted to look at what they had. I believe that they've been around 10 plus years.
Okay.
They've been around a long time and they've been one of the top providers in this space. And there's a couple of reasons why. So one of the reasons that I like them is that they hit all of the points that you should as a VPN. They do the IP address encryption. They also encrypt the encryption of the protocol itself so that people don't actually know what protocol you're using to connect with. They offer a built-in kill switch. So a kill switch is when you're connected to a network, Wi-Fi at Starbucks, maybe your own cellular network, maybe your whatever, some sort of open network, even if it's not an open network, but some sort of network. Let's say for some reason, the VPN that you're on, the particular server that you're on, goes down for some weird reason. Connection failure, that particular unit that you're connected to through the VPN, because it's just another computer, they can have problems too. Mm-hmm. That connection dies. Having the automatic kill switch turns on basically terminates your connection to any network. So you can set it up so that if the VPN dies, it just reverts back to keeping you connected to whatever you're connected to. Because if you think about it, you've got a double connection going. You're connected to it, to the network that you're on, but you're also connected to the VPN.
Right.
If the connection to the VPN dies, the software on the device is smart enough, if you enable kill switch, to say, the VPN dies. He does not want to be connected to the internet without a VPN for this particular instance. Terminate the network. So terminate the connection to the actual Wi-Fi network that you're on. That is a setting.
Is that turned on by default on PIA?
You know what? I'd have to look. I don't know if that's a default setting.
Because I'm looking in my app right now. This is live right now, folks. And
yeah, I'm going to pull mine up too.
I don't know. Yeah, you'll have to let me know because all this stuff gets kind of gobbledygook. When you talk about gobbledygook. And we'll have to tell about the issues I was having when I first installed the app that was causing me to pull my hair out, which is interesting because I'm bald. Oh, VPN kill switch. I found it. So it's toggled on.
Is that under general?
It's under privacy features.
Privacy features. That's it. Okay. So they have it on by default because I never set that on mine, which is good. So that means that if basically it says it right there too, the VPN kill switch prevents access to the internet if the VPN connection is reconnecting. So if your VPN connection dies and starts to reconnect, it's not going to fall back on your network.
Great. That's a good feature. I'm glad they enable that. So that was another box that was checked off that you liked because it really protects the user.
Yep. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, because think about it. Again, places have failures. Things happen. They have ways to reroute. So that's what happens, right? One server goes down, your connection dies. This thing will automatically try to reroute you to the next server that it can find. During that time, it's not going to allow you to fall back to the network and allow you to be unprotected while it's trying to reconnect the VPN. So that's always a good thing to have, is that redundancy built in, but to allow you to stay protected by just not being on the internet. Again, that could be a pain, but if you're in an open network, you're trying to be private, it's at least from my perspective, it's better to just have that temporary internet interruption.
Yeah.
Than to be exposed.
I agree. And it's something that most people don't think about, because when VPNs first came out, they weren't as reliable. They couldn't connect. They'd always drop. You know, I haven't had any problems since I got my problem fixed. And this is what I want to talk to you about now, because when I first got the software, I put it on my Mac, no problems whatsoever. Everything works. It's like a shining beacon. And on my iPhone, it's set it up differently. The default set it up. So on the Mac, it set it up as OpenVPN as a default. On the iPhone, it connected as automatic. And my wife and I both have issues with this. Maybe it's a Verizon thing. I have no idea. And I remember I got really frustrated. I was texting you and saying, what's going on? And then you did the investigation and you don't understand. Maybe you got the answer now, but you didn't understand why the Mac or PCs in general would be OpenVPN by default, but it would be automatic on the iPhone. Now, maybe that's got something to do with the Mac is not cellular, but the phone is. But it was really frustrating. But now I went and changed it to OpenVPN. I've not had an issue since.
Yeah. So what I have found out is, from doing a little bit of research, OpenVPN is what they bake into all of computer installs.
Okay.
Because it is the most, it's the oldest protocol. It's the hardest to set up if you're trying to set it up manually, but it seems to be the one that works best. It's a secure protocol, but it's kind of in the middle with speed, right? It's not super fast, but it's not super slow either. It's gotten better over time. This new one, I mean, it's not really new, but this other one that connects with the cellular stuff, it's this L2P/IPsec protocol.
Okay.
And that stands for a lot of gibberish to most people. Probably people aren't going to care, but it basically is layer 2 tunnel protocol. And it's paired with the internet protocol security protocol. Like, why would you have protocols in there twice? But again, these people are naming things weird. It is on par with speed and security with OpenVPN. It's easier to set up unless you have to bypass a firewall. There's been some security concerns raised because the NSA actually helped develop the IPsec. So like real tinfoil hat people are like, well, the NSA helped build it. That means they might have a back door. I'm still doing a little bit of research on this, but what I believe the reason that they set that as the default on the phone is because that tends to be easier to set up and work better with cellular out of the box. But I haven't gotten a clear cut answer to that, because I know that on all of my computers, when I install it, it defaults to OpenVPN. And if I'm correct, I can actually look.
But OpenVPN, for most people who go out and get this VPN, OpenVPN is going to be fine to protect us.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. OpenVPN has been around the longest.
Okay.
And it's a very good protocol.
It's stable.
It's stable. Yeah. And as a matter of fact, if I look up, I'm looking up the settings on my computer right now. So I'm on my Windows box. I only have two options on my Windows box, OpenVPN or WireGuard. I don't even have that IPsec L2P junk as an option on my Windows 10 box. So my guess is that protocol is specific for using probably cellular or mobile devices.
Gotcha. Okay.
And that's why they defaulted to that. But you can use OpenVPN on anything. And then the third option that people are going to see if they get into these settings for a lot of these things, at least with private internet access. And I think the other one I'm going to mention too has it. I haven't done too much investigating on that one yet, but I know it's another highly recommended one. And I got a lot of my recommendations. I got all of my recommendations from the Linux community. I'm big in the Linux community. I do a lot with Linux. I've mentioned that on the podcast 100 million times already. Almost everyone that I talk to or everyone that I encounter in the Linux community that I've personally encountered that talks about VPNs uses private internet access. The one feature that this one has that they all really love is the fact that private internet access does not do any logging of any kind. You can turn logs on the VPN server and log traffic that's coming through at the VPN server. If you think about it, traffic is just traffic. You can log it locally. You can log it at every server hop. The big thing about PIA is that they have disabled all of their logging on all of their servers. So there have been cases with other VPN service providers where people have been using a VPN and something's happened. And I'm not saying you should definitely, again, I'm going to preface this by saying, do not use a VPN because you want to do something illegal. Don't be doing anything illegal online, period. VPN or no VPN, just don't do it. There have been cases that have been brought up where a person was using a VPN to conduct illicit activity or potentially illicit activity that might be illicit in one country, but not another country.
Mm.
And because the VPN had logging turned on, the specific government of that country was able to go to the VPN and get the logs. And from the logs was able to work its way back to at least identify who. They couldn't break the encryption, but they were able to identify who was generating the traffic. From my knowledge, you can't do that with PIA because they don't log anything. They're literally a pass-through, which is another great feature. You don't want anything with logging.
Okay. So we talked a lot about PIA, private internet access. So what is the other company? Because you and I are both fans of Dan Bongino and Ben Shapiro. They all promote this other company. So what is that other company?
So the other one is ExpressVPN.
Yeah.
And ExpressVPN is another very viable option.
But they log their
I believe they do, unless they've changed that policy.
Okay.
The last time I checked, which was a while ago, they actually had logging turned on. But I can validate that. I probably should have validated that for this show.
Fail.
I know. You know what it was, Mark? I spent a lot of time combing through the documentation of PIA because I got down my own rabbit hole. You know how Uh-oh. We do. You yep. know how rabbit holes go. So I'm looking up all of these different server protocols and I'm looking, what else do they do? And I actually found the PIA has a whole bunch of other products that you can get now that you've bought in. Like we both signed up for like the 3 year
yes.
service. They actually have built-in ad blocking. Like you could do built-in device ad blocking, like ad blocking on your whole device.
Wow.
I just found that. I love Brave because it blocks crap on my YouTube.
Yep.
If I watch YouTube in Brave, if this does what it says it does, you could watch YouTube from your device and it'll block all the ads on it without having to go through Brave.
And PIA is very affordable. It's like $80 for three years for 10 devices.
It's great. So it does pretty much all of the other encryption stuff. I do know that, but I'm not sure. I will validate, and we're going to tell you how you can get a hold of my answers later in the show. But I will validate it and post whether or not they do logging. The last time I had checked, I'm looking right here. Turkish authorities. So it was saying that the Turkish authorities were going after somebody, and they were unable to find any logs to aid their investigation, which. The company said verified its claim that it did not store any user activity or connection logs.
Is this ExpressVPN?
Yeah. So maybe they store some logs for like operating system stuff, but it looks like they don't do logging either.
Well, I want people to understand that there's a lot of free VPNs. And like we said at the start of the show, there's nothing in life that's free. So you're paying some way.
Yeah.
So $80 for 3 years for 10 devices. I mean, do the math. So divide 80 by how many days that is. It's really affordable.
Yeah.
And you got to remember, if you're like, I don't need a VPN, and then your data gets stolen and they take all your money, the $80 is going to seem like nothing.
I never investigated any of the free VPNs only because in all of the Linux community chats that I've been on, none of them recommended it. And I'm kind of like you, Mark. If I find somebody who I feel is an expert in something and I trust them enough, I kind of go with their opinion. I might do a little bit of research, but the minute they started talking about VPNs and everybody was talking about PIA, ExpressVPN is the other one I heard a bit too. Mm-hmm. And then obviously, you know, with Dan Bongino and these other guys that we like to listen to, they're all pushing it big time too. Those were like the two that I really kind of like. I leaned on the PIA only because a lot of people in the Linux community like it a lot. And because I gravitate that towards that community, I trust a lot of the folks in that community. So since that was the heavy hitter in that community, I just kind of went with it because they did similar things. I didn't check the pricing. PIA might be a little cheaper. And again, they're constantly adding new things. They're constantly bringing up new stuff. And it's always worked for me. I love it. But
yeah,
what I will say is don't do free VPNs. Because like Mark said, if it's free, it's not really free. And that means they're probably tracking something. Mm-hmm. Because it's an encrypted transaction between you and a VP and a server, that transaction goes both ways. So I know I've heard stories before where some of these VPNs have been injecting their own ads into the traffic. You just don't, I mean, just again, you have to be cautious with anything that's free, because at some point you got to make that association that free isn't free. There's nothing really free in this world.
Nope.
The only time you can technically consider something free, open source is a good example. There's a lot of open source software that is free. The way that you say, well, it's free, but the caveat is that it's free, but it's not necessarily always as polished as the stuff that you would pay for. Because these are people who are well-seasoned developers who are developing projects in their spare time most of the time. And a lot of times they're free to you because people like myself and other community members will actually donate money back to the project. So to get the software is free, but I'm actually donating money to the project. So I'm paying for it, but I'm not required to pay for it in any means. I'm doing it out of the kindness of my heart by saying, I use the product. I use it on a daily basis. I want the project to continue. I'm going to throw them a few bucks once a quarter. Maybe I'll support one of the developers' Patreon pages. So I give them $5 a month or $10 a month for a while. Myriad of ways to do that. That could be a whole episode in and of itself. The idea is that if a company comes out and says, we're giving you this free, no cost to you, somewhere there's a cost. So you have to investigate what the cost is.
Well, this has been a fascinating episode learning about VPNs. I like the fact that I don't even mess with it anymore. It just happens automatic. And VPN, if you get the right VPN like PIA, you set it and you never have to worry about it because it's stable and it works. So next time we're going to be talking about solar energy because My wife and I are thinking about getting solar because we live in Houston. We get a lot of sun. And one of the things I'm fascinated about, what really got this whole thing started, is I was watching one of my YouTube channels, and they said that the sun, listen to this carefully, the sun provides enough energy for one day to power the entire world for a year. Think about that.
Wait, now, say that again?
The sun gives enough energy on the earth in one day to power the entire, everything on the earth for an entire year.
Holy.
That's how much power we're getting from the sun. Okay. And so we're looking into it. It's not cheap. I'm getting estimates $20,000-$25,000. Plus we need a new roof. But my wife, God love her, when we bought our homeowners insurance, she got like the premier. And so even though we don't have any damage, we only have to pay like a $4,000 deductible to get our roof replaced. Mm-hmm. But what happens is I'm going down the rabbit hole of watching all these videos, and there's solar. And we'll talk about this next week, but just because you have solar, and I'm going to reveal this next time, doesn't mean if you lose power, you have power. That's something I just learned. So we're going to talk about that in the next episode. But Danny, let's say somebody has an idea for a topic for the show, because you and I are coming up with these topics right now. But let's say someone goes, you know, I would like to know about X, because Danny and I, we're nerds, and we're probably going to want to learn about X. And so this will be a great opportunity. Is there a way they can send us an idea?
What? There actually is. So you have to go out and get WhatsApp.
What's the app?
You got me. Download WhatsApp. You can get it on any platform.
Everyone's got it downloaded anyways.
Yeah, pretty much everybody has it anyway.
They're listening to this show. They've got it on their device.
There you go. And you search for the number two.
Two.
Bald, B-A-L-D. Bald,
no hair.
Nerds, N-E-A-R-D-Z, or...
Zed.
Search for that channel. We will let you into that channel. Mark and I are the admins for that channel. We'll let you in.
We're lonely.
We are lonely. Right now, we're the only two. We're the only two in there. So the banter in there is very infrequent because we talk to each other every week. Actually, we talk to each other more than
every day.
We talk to each other every day on Snapchat and
WhatsApp.
WhatsApp,
iMessage.
We're all over the place with each other. So our WhatsApp group is a little lacking, but it is there. We're trying to build it, and we'd love to have other people join so we could have conversations with the community members.
Even if you say hi, even if you just say, yo, I mean, something.
Yep. Call us out on something. If you hear something that one of us says that you don't think is quite right or that you want more explanation on, feel free to get in there and drop us a question or a comment or, again, just say hi. Come on in. The water's fine.
Yep. The water is fine. And thank you for your time and attention for listening to this episode of the Two Bald Nerds podcast. Hey, one favor. If you found value of this episode, why don't you text it? Because whatever podcast player you're listening to this on right now, you can share that with somebody. So go ahead and share it, no matter if it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, whatever. Share this episode with someone. Help us get the word out. So, Danny, everyone has a homework assignment after every episode. What do they have to do before the next episode?
Well, everyone has to stay nerdy.